Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Be self-controlled and be what? Alert. Never underestimate your sinful nature.
This week, Pastor Neil teaches how the Christian life is like constant warfare against the devil. He reminds us that our struggle isn't with other people, but with spiritual forces working against us. To stand firm, we need to know ourselves, understand our enemy, know the battlefield, and make good use of the weapons we have at our disposal. Pastor Neil emphasizes the importance of having self-control and staying connected to the Holy Spirit. He cautions that whatever areas of our lives we don't control can become opportunities for the devil to step in and cause harm. He said the key is to stay alert, not leave any openings, and avoid not just sin itself, but anything that could lead you towards it. He also urges us not to confuse confidence in Christ with pride in our abilities. But if we lean on God's strength and wisdom, we can stand firm against the devil and defeat his tactics. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson, Resisting the Devil.
As I deliver this message, I seek to bring a balance, but it will not be an exhaustive session because we don't have that much time on our hands. But mostly people of African descent, anytime we hear the devil, everybody's antenna is going up, and then we start looking up. But today you will notice that it is us who gives the devil the authority. Satan cannot take it until you give it to him. Amen. Are you in 1 Peter chapter 5? Resisting the devil. Say that with me. To resist simply means to withstand something. It is stand firm. It is not a concept of attack. It is a concept of what? Defense. Are you understanding what we're talking about? 1 Peter chapter 5. Two verses. I'll read from the New International Version. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Those two words, sober mind, also means to be self-controlled. You know how you drank alcohol and you're in the car and the popo stops you. They want to know, and they conduct what? A sobriety test. Be sober. All right? Be what? Self-controlled. So the Apostle Peter says, be alert. Be sober-minded. In other words, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, underline that word. If you read older versions, it will say your adversary. Your enemy, the devil, prowls. Everybody underline the word prowls. Around like a roaring lion, because a prowler is a stalker. Today, I'll take you deeper for you to understand how Satan works. Verse 9, read with me, shall we, everybody? Go for it. Resist him, standing in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So Peter is saying there is an enemy. There is an adversary who is called the devil. He's prowling around to devour someone. So learn to be self-controlled. Learn to be alert. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Amen. So I've already mentioned it, that the word resist means to withstand something. To withstand something. Now, you'll notice that when trouble starts, you can withstand it to a point, and then maybe afterwards you feel like giving up. Yeah. But we must come to that place where we outlast our problems. Amen. All right? And that is where you will be called a good soldier of Christ. Amen. I would like to make a statement. Please write it down, because it will be a premise from which we will teach today. In other words, you are at war with Satan. The war was declared before you were born. We are at war with Satan whether we fight or not. You can choose to fight, but Satan is fighting. So there is nothing like, I'm not going to fight. You will at some point have to fight. You see, we live in a world that has a naturalistic view that everything in our world is natural. The truth is, it's not true. Amen. The scripture teaches us that there is a supernatural, a spiritual aspect to life. Go with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. I want us to check a few scriptures because this worldview of everything is natural, everything is just based on natural laws. And oftentimes you hear Christians say things like, let's just be real. As if the spirit world is not real. You will notice that the spirit realm is more real than the natural realm. Are you in Colossians chapter 1? Look at the 16th verse. Colossians chapter 1. Read with me if you can. For in him all things were created. I want to hear your voices. Let's start again. Ready? Read. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He's speaking about Jesus, and then the verse opens our eyes to something. He says, there are things that are created in heaven, and there are things that are created where? Then there are things in the visible realm, things we can see. Then there are things we cannot what? See, because they are in the invisible realm. Then he begins to give us a list of some of them. He said thrones. So if you go to London and King Charles has his throne, that's in the visible realm. But there are thrones in the unseen realm. Are you guys understanding where we're going? Don't let anybody fool you that all of life is natural. No, that ain't true. That is not what? True. He says there are thrones, there are powers. So there'll be powers in the visible realm, but there are powers in the spirit realm. Then he says rulers and authorities. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. I'm trying to establish the concept and the idea that naturalistic worldview is not true. We live in a world that is natural, but it is controlled from the spiritual. Hebrews chapter 11. I need you to read this verse with me if you can, please. Shall we? Go. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command, so that what is seen was not made out. All right. Did you capture that? In other words, the raw materials for this world is in the invisible realm. So it means if... Okay, I don't know how to explain this. Okay. Let's say we are going to build a city. All right? Wherever you take the materials from to build that city, which one is more powerful? The source, where you got what? The materials. And the Bible says all the visible things we see, the raw materials, came from the invisible world. Because God spoke them into existence. So do not let people tell you, all that we see, all the days of our lives, our 3 score years here and now, is all there is. No, there is more beyond this realm. Are you understanding me? So whether you like it or not, Satan have decided he's going to attack. And the only reason is not because you look so nice and you're so handsome and because of the family you come from, because sometimes that's what we made it to look like. No. If you want to fight me and you come fight me, what is the next thing you're going to do? You go for my children. So the attack is not because of you. It's because of daddy, who your father is, God. Because of him, the enemy is going to come after you. He wants to fight God. He cannot fight him, so he will fight his children. Amen. And we want to understand that. A second statement, please write it down, that a Christian life is a life of constant warfare. So you cannot be passive. The Christian life is a life of what? Constant warfare with the devil. So you and I cannot be passive. You can't. You can't just say, oh, I'm a little tired. I read a story about soldiers who were fighting in the World War, and they got to a place and their commander said, let's just take some little rest. And it was said that they began to take their backpacks off and everybody was. And as soon as they started, they realized the bullets were flying. So they had to just get back on. That is the dude we are dealing with. He never gives you a breathing space. And Peter is writing to believers who are being persecuted. They are going through so much. And he reminding them, listen, you have an enemy. It is not Nero. There is a real enemy, is the devil. And today I want us to launch into that. Amen. So the Christian life is a life of constant what? You didn't write it down. That's why you can't remember. The Christian life is a life of constant warfare with the devil. There is constant what? I am not stating that you should see the devil in everything. But I'm also stating that do not underestimate that Satan is at work. There ought to be a balance. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 3 and verse 4. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish what? Strongholds. Please notice, strongholds have nothing to do with your background in terms of the demons in your father's family. It has to do with mental thought patterns that have become set in its ways. Satan, we bind you. Then the next time you are wasting time. He is already won. We've been binding him all these years. Who's been losing him? Who has been losing him? I want you to understand the warfare. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6. Look at the 12th verse. Ephesians chapter 6, the 12th verse says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, we are not fighting each other. Does that mean there are human beings who are not representative of spiritual entities? Yes, there are. I don't have time today to go into that. But against, for we are, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So you, as a child of God, you are in the middle. The day they give birth to you, your mama came out, you were born into warfare. And Satan says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I will fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at the 12th verse. He says, fight the good fight of faith. All these verses shows you that there's warfare going on. And you are part of it. And you cannot choose to be passive. The problem is that many Christians are very passive. Do you realize when you want to get married, Satan will do everything to make sure that you have sex before marriage? You believe it is Satan? Do you also believe that it is Satan who, after you are married, will make sure that one spouse will keep telling you, I don't feel like it, and keep you off? So they set you up to fail. Today we will get there. I will get there. Brothers, I will help you out. Because Satan is working both ways. And your eyes need to open. Why are you laughing? I gave only one example and then you are laughing. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we are still pressing on. We want to understand, are we in a fight? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4. He says, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Read with me, shall we go? No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. Underline that statement. But rather tries to please his commanding what? The problem is that many believers are trying to please other people. We are so much involved in civilian affairs. Civilian affairs. Civilian affairs. Politics. Civilian affairs. I am not saying that we don't have to do our civil duty. But when in the middle of the civil duty, understand you belong to an army. And until your commander says you can be part of something, you can't. No soldier gets entangled in civilian what? But rather tries to please his commanding officer. So if we will win the battle, we must do something soldiers call recognizance. We have to go and survey the enemy. We must understand our own strength. We have to look at timing. All right? We have to understand the battlefield. So there are four things that we need to look at if we would win. I'll look at three of them today for the sake of time. First, you must know yourself. You must what? How many of you actually know yourselves? When I say know yourself, know your weaknesses and your strengths. Do you actually know your weaknesses? There was a book I was reading about a pimp. I like reading stuff because a pimp has leadership qualities. He's just using it wrongly. And I wanted to understand how they have the ability to influence, to make people do what they don't want to do, because that's a very powerful leadership acumen. If we can pray and they will change and they become believers, I'm telling you, they will change the world because they can make people do what they don't want to do. You must know yourself. Some of you, the way you are sitting here, you would think you are very firm and strong. You think that your marriage is really good. You are setting up each other for things you don't know. I'll come to it. So know yourself. Secondly, know your enemy. The enemy's weaknesses and strengths. Satan has strengths. He has weaknesses too. Thirdly, we must know the battlefield. And finally, we must know the weapons that are at our disposal. I will not get into that today. So we will look at our knowing ourselves, knowing our enemy. And I'm only doing it that way because Peter only addresses those three. He doesn't touch the fourth one. So let's begin with knowing ourselves. Go back to the book of 1 Peter. Notice how he begins. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Be alert and sober-minded. In other words, be self-controlled. Everybody say self-control. If we don't lose control of ourselves, that is, let me say, 70% of the battle is won. So I want you to write this down. It's a question I want you to ask yourself. And please don't write it down and then close your eyes to it. In which aspects of my life am I lacking control? In which aspects of my life? In which aspects of my life am I not guided by the Holy Spirit? Because as long as there is no control in an area, I bet you Satan will use it. For example, substance abuse. I've often heard Christians who are always making arguments. Arguments. The Bible didn't say we can't drink alcohol. I will tell you the Bible said don't do it. Why? Because in all of our Christian walk, we are being brought to a place where we conform to the image of Christ. And the image of Christ is drinking alcohol. You see, most of us have made Christianity about our needs. But that's not what it's about. It is about me and you conforming to the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. If you know the bigger picture, there are things you will not be a part of because you know that will not get you there. Are you with me? Instead of you running around and say, but it is not in black and white. You are like Solomon when God told him, don't marry anybody outside the covenant of Israel. He took the list God gave and then he marked them and looked at the ones who were not in the list that God gave and married women from there. What happened? The very thing God said, they will turn your heart. You are never smarter than God. You will not be. Amen. So be self-controlled. Let's look at an area also like lust. There were days when you used to control the internet. Now the internet controls you. Until those things have been dealt with, you become self-controlled, Satan will use it. Are you with me today? Anger is another way. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and let's look at anger. Some of us, pride. You must know who you are. I said you must what? Now, the things you cannot control is you. They spell out your weaknesses. So I wanted to answer that question. What are the things? Are you controlling anger in your life? Is life making you angry? Just calm down. Chill. Are you in the book of Ephesians? Chapter 4, look at verse 26. Let's read 26 first. It says, in your anger, do not what? Why? Because once you don't control anger, be self-controlled. Once you don't control it, you give Satan a chance. Notice the next few words. It says, do not let the sun go down while you are angry. Verse 27, everybody, read with me, go. And do not give the devil a foothold. A better illustration for this verse is that you all would agree with me that a helicopter can actually land anywhere. Right? Once there's some place for those two things to sit on it, a helicopter can be everywhere. But not a jet cannot be. There has to be a runway. Right? And the scripture from this verse is trying to say to you that Satan is not a jet that needs a runway to land. All he needs is a foot. I think when you read the King James, it says, neither give place to the devil. And he uses the word topos. In other words, an area. Right? Foothold. That's all Satan needs. Satan doesn't need much. He needs something little. You open the door very what? So that brings me to the second one. He says, be self-controlled, but also be alert. Everybody say, be alert. So sometimes we are not alert. We have allowed certain things in our lives, like the door, to be left little crack opening. And Satan is going to use it. Some of us, we have closed the door, but the door is not latched. You are sitting there telling yourself, oh, I can withstand if another woman comes here. Some of us are like this, little door. Some of us, the door has been, but it is not what? Latched. So a little push opens it. Satan was here before you were born, so he knows it. Do you know yourself? I'm going to meddle a little bit and get into your private life. I want to talk to our men. Men, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Women, are you here? Do not set these men up with the door cracked open. I'm speaking in parables. Do not. Why? Because once the door, right, it looks closed. So, oh, no, my husband won't go anywhere before you realize he's going somewhere. Because you left the door cracked just a little bit. When you steady a serpent, which is symbolic of the devil when we read the scriptures, anytime you open the door, ajar, a snake will never come through it. It will always look for little holes. Little holes. Be alert. And brothers, don't leave the door ajar for your wives. Can we balance the equation here? So I want to ask you a question. Which areas of your life are the places where the door has been shut, but they are not latched? One of the doors in my house, my wife would always say, why is that door open? Because we can close the door, but the door is not latched. But you will notice that in your walk, most Christians, they have left the door just cracked, just a little. Never get a foothold to the devil. And let me put it this way. You spend so much time. You go to the stadium to watch soccer? You watch it on TV? No, watch some. Balance the thing. Because you will get to a place where you realize you don't have what it takes to overcome it. But you were deceiving yourself that you did. Because you thought the door was closed. But it could be open with just a finger. And Satan knows it. So Peter is saying, be self-controlled. And be what? Alert. Never, please write this down. Never underestimate your sinful nature. I read a story about a woman, very sophisticated woman. She was in first class on a flight to Dubai. This business magnate sat close to her and says, I want to sleep with you, and I'll give you $10,000. The woman looked at the guy and says, no. The guy smiled, looked down, and then said, how about we do it for $50,000? Talking about dollars. The woman said, my love can't be bought. The man said, $1 million. The woman says, no. And the man says, how about I give you $2 million? And he walked away. The seed has been, if the door was locked shut, that statement couldn't open the door. So the lady sent the air hostess, go look for the guy. He come off his seat and come, let's have a talk. And he says, how about $5 million? And the man says, name the place and the time. How much money can buy you? I want to ask you. Most of the time, the doors to our lives that Satan can use is never shut. We fast, we pray in tongues. So we think it's closed. Never underestimate your sinful nature. in this warfare. Never what? And don't go embrace it either. And say, we were born in sin. You are supposed to be the image of Christ. Amen. So do you know yourself? I've given you an idea. Do you know yourself now? Go home and sit down. And sometimes when you begin to look at yourself, you will notice that what I describe about this woman, some of you feel you are in very secured marriages. If it were presented to you, 5 million. You start looking at how many cars you can buy, how many houses you can, your life will change. All of a sudden you say, Pastor, but you know, the Bible tells us to be as wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. Is the door shut? Or is it cracked open? Little. Satan knows when it's cracked open. He knows it. And he knows when it's shut. Even when he's shut, he still takes shots. How much more when you already left it that ajar? Secondly, let's know our enemy. Let's try and understand Satan. Because sometimes there are people who make Satan feel too big. Stop giving him credit for things. Because some of the things we say he did, he didn't do. He says, own up for the things you do. Let's try and understand. And I will use the names of Satan in the Bible. In the Bible, we see the name Satan. Everybody say Satan. That's Hebrew. It means an accuser. So whenever Satan is dealing with you, he will accuse you. He will go to God and say, this one you want to bless, you don't need to. Because they already have the door cracked open. That's why it's not born again. Again, we have the name the devil, right? Peter said it. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, that is the word adversary. Your enemy, the adversary. And then he says, the devil. Everybody say the devil. This is a Greek, and it's called the word diabolos, out of which we get the word diabolical. It means that Satan is very cunning. He's a slanderer. He will come and tell you, you know, this person did this against you. Then rush and then take your information to the other one. And he set the two of you against each other. Who told you this issue? How did you get to know? Because Satan is in the loop and he's working. You know, most Christians don't have a little crack in the door. We often have the door shut. The problem is that it is not latched. So you wonder, I cannot believe this person could do this. Because you didn't know them. I pray that God will reveal you to you. I said, I pray that God will what? So the name Satan means an accuser. The name devil means a slanderer. And the name adversary is simply an opponent or an enemy. So Satan is not your friend. He's an opponent. He is an enemy. Are you with me? I said he is what? He's an enemy. He is not your buddy. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. So when you realize that somebody is slandering you, you must know who is behind it. It is not just that individual. Are you in 1 Peter 5? Let's look at verse 8. Let's read it again. It said, be alert and of a sober mind, or be self-controlled. Your enemy, the adversary, the devil, prowls. Please underline the word prowls. A prowler is a stalker. I said a prowler is what? So the devil prowls. Most of the time you hear people, oh, he prowls like a lion. No, today I'll break it down for you. How many of you know who a stalker is? Somebody who wants to do something bad to you. So they start studying you from a distance. They watch every move. Sometimes they get close to your house and then with their binoculars, they look in. They study your patterns. How? So they show up today, they will never strike because they are waiting for an appropriate day.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-3000. 1-800-275-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.